Ladies and gentlemen, please stand for the arrival of the Mayor of the City of Melton, Councillor Hobsman, and the Chief Executive, Mr. Kelvin Torrey.
Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessings upon this council, direct and prosper its deliberations to advancement of thy glory and welfare of the people in whom we serve. Amen.
Amen.
Melton City Council acknowledges the land it now occupies has a history that began with the indigenous occupants of Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the elders and descendants past and present. Please be seated. Apologies and leave of absence.
We have no apologies this evening, Mr. Mayor.
Changes to the order of business.
Councillor Ramsey.
Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move that item 13 and 14 on the agenda be moved together or be heard together, with each councillor being able to present for up to 3 minutes and the Mayor up to five.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second that, thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Carley. All those in favour? I declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, sorry, I rise to also move item number 12.9 and also notices of motion. I'll just get that up now. Notice of motion, 15.4, notice of motion 561. Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. To be read after the after 12.1, please.
Moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by.
I'll second that.
Councillor Ramsey, all those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Any other councillor have anything to change?
Mr. Mayor, can I ask that 12.4 be deferred to after item 12.12 as it relates closely to this matter?
Thank you. Moved by Councillor DeSantis. Do I have a seconder?
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Meadwick. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour? I declare it carried. Presentation of staff reports 12.1. Sorry, guys. Jumping the pages. Deputations. I knew that was one.
Yes. Introducing.
Yep.
You can read.
Okay. So deputation be presented by with Council's Municipal Emergency Management Plan Audit Certificate, presented by Mr. John Chaplin, Operations Manager, and I believe Jody's here as well, Jody Griffin, Operations Officer from the Victoria State Emergency Service.
Okay. Look, it gives us great pleasure to present a certificate of audit for the Municipal Emergency Management Plan that's in planning arrangements for the City of Melton. I suppose I want to come here to say a couple of words as well just about this, because the issue about the emergency management planning is that the bar has been raised to get this result. It means the City of Melton has achieved a very high level of planning in its emergency management arrangements. It's done extremely well. Just a couple of words about it. They have a very strong planning committee here, so all agency stakeholders are here, and great collaboration with other councils as well. There's a strong community focus as well, with events that a number of events that occurred with the community. So the community here of Melton can feel, I suppose, well represented by their council here in emergency management. They do a lot of work. It's not just about a plan, but it's about the exercises they do, the training they do, the collaboration they do, and the community-led planning they do to make sure that new people here can feel safe. Just want to say also special thanks to a number of players here. Peter Doyle, Les Stokes, Matthew Beasley, Rishi Viner, Christine Levy and Councillor Bob Turner. Special thanks to Peter Doyle. Peter I've known for a number of years now, and he's done fantastic work and quite a leader in the area of emergency management. So with that, I'd just like to say that it's really well done. As I said, the bar has been raised. You have to achieve a high level to get this Melton received the tick in every box in its emergency management work that it does, and I just think all goes well to the community of Melton given the efforts they put in to reach this level. So well done, all you all there. Bye.
Thank you, John.
One that I didn't mention, and I should have, by the way, is Jodie Griffin there, who's absolutely fantastic. Everyone takes her all the time. I'm not sure I'm here in my day, but she does excellent work here.
Point 5, declaration of interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor. No. Item number 6, adoption and confirmation of minutes of previous meeting.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 26th of March 2018 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Thank you, Councillor Murdoch. Moved by Councillor Murdoch. Do I have a seconder?
I'd like to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Thank you. Correspondence anymore? Record of Assembly of Councillors. Thank you, Mr.
Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that the record of Assembly of Councillors dated 26th of March and 9th, 16th and the 23rd of April 2018 attached to this agenda be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Medley. Moved by Councillor Medley.
I'd like to second that.
Is there any councillor opposed to the motion? All those in favour? I declare it carried. Inward correspondence.
No items of inward correspondence this evening, Mr. Mayor.
Petitions and joint letters?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I wish to table a petition of 500 signatures on behalf of the Lake Caroline Community Group Incorporated, the prayer of which says, the petition of certain residents of the state of Victoria draw the attention of council the significantly deteriorating condition of Lake Caroline in the suburb of Caroline Springs, Victoria, due to the recent levels of water in the lake and the weed coverage is more visible, impacting on the aesthetics and the general environmental condition of the lake. The petitioners therefore request that the Mayor and councillors of the Melton City Council intervenes immediately to implement measures to ensure the Lake Caroline is returned to its former glory. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Vision. Resumption of debate or other business carried over from a previous meeting?
No items held over, Mr. Mayor.
How about question time?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Our first question this evening is from Robert Nielsen. Mr. Nielsen is in the gallery. His question reads, can Council please advise how long it will be before the contractors are called back to repair and or replace the tiles in front of Melton Library? The tiles on the crossing are loose and are at risk of being thrown at other cars or worse still, pedestrians standing waiting to cross the road. Mr. Lloyd Shannon, General Manager, Planning and Development, will respond to the question.
Thank you, Robert, for your question. Council is certainly aware that there are some issues with the tiles out at the front of the Melton Library and Learning Hub. We have engaged an independent specialist to assess those, and we've now received their report with recommendations as to how that can be fixed, and indeed the contractor who installed them is required to fix them under the contract we have with them. I can't at this moment give you the exact date when that will occur. It will be in the very near future. You'll note that in the meantime we have taken some remedial measures to ensure that they still provide for a safe pedestrian environment, but I can assure you that Council will have those attended to in a completed manner very shortly. Thank you.
Second question from Mr. Nelson this evening. Is it possible for Council, in conjunction with Victoria Police, to mount cameras at strategic places where cars are doing burnouts to get some of these hoons off the road? Again, Mr. Shannon, General Manager, Planning and Development.
Thank you, Robert, for your question. Unfortunately, hoon driving is an issue in metropolitan Melbourne, and particularly in some of the growth areas, and I think Melton's no different. We certainly have worked closely with the police over a number of years to try and address it, because hoon driving is significantly outside of Council's control. We are, however, happy to take up your suggestion with the Victoria Police. It would require their cooperation to enable it to work, because ultimately it's a matter for police enforcement. But as I've said, we'd be happy to take that matter up further with the police to see if it can be progressed. Thank you.
The next question, Mr. Mayor, is from Anthea of Melton South. And are they in the gallery?
Yep.
Right. Question reads, what is the Council doing about the constant littering in Melton South, in particular the Mount Carberry Recreation Reserve, and how come there hasn't been tougher enforcement re litter, especially in the Melton South area? Again, Mr. Shannon, to respond.
Thank you, Anthea, for raising this issue. I'm not aware specifically of rubbish that's been dumped at Mount Carberry in recent times. Council does have a program of maintenance within the reserve, as we do all reserves, and that occurs on a very frequent basis where grass is cut and litter is collected. You seem to be alluding to perhaps some more significant dumping of waste more generally. That, unfortunately, is a significant issue across the municipality, which Council has been putting in significant effort to try and address, and we do collect that as soon as we become aware of it. So I'd strongly encourage you, if you become aware of a situation where rubbish has been dumped in Mount Carberry or close by, that you report it through our customer service team, and that will be attended to straight away. I can also assure you that Council follows up where we can any issues of dump litter, and there's been numerous cases where we've found the identity of those people dumping the waste through what has been found, and they are going through a process of prosecution, hopefully as a means of deterring that from occurring into the future. Thank you.
Next question is from Carl Webster. Mr. Webster is in the gallery. His question reads, regarding the proposed mosque in Harkness Road, will it be Sunni or Shiite? Considering these two factions don't assimilate, where do I stand as an infidel? Then Mr. Shannon to respond.
Thank you, Carl, for your question. You'll be aware that in tonight's agenda at item 12.9, Council has a report from officers regarding that application, and you'll note that the application's for a place of worship. So the actual issue of the religion involved in the application actually has no bearing on tonight's consideration. It is for a place of worship. Just in terms of where you stand in terms of your own personal beliefs, obviously that's an issue for you, and I can't really add to that. Thank you.
Next question is from Helen Jones. Is Ms. Jones in the gallery? Just to explain to those members of the gallery that are not familiar with council procedures, it is a requirement under the local law that the submitter of a question must be present in the gallery when the question is addressed. Otherwise, a written response only will be provided and the matter won't be addressed at the meeting. So again, is Helen Jones in the gallery? If not, I'll move to the next question. which is from Wendy Mason. Is Ms. Mason in the gallery? No? Again, similar comment. Next question is from Mr. David O'Connor, and Mr. O'Connor is in the gallery. This question reads, at the ordinary meeting of council held March 5, in particular public question time, the General Manager for Planning and Development, Mr. Luke Shannon, explained that corellas are attracted to a certain tree type, of which there are around 2,500 planted in the municipality. Could Council please provide some additional information regarding the tree species being referred to by Mr. Shannon and provide some details with respect to tree types currently planted in the new estates of St. Genevieve and Bloomdale in Diggers Rest? Again, Mr. Shannon will provide that response.
Thank you, David, for your question. Certainly, it's Council's experience that the birds are attracted to specific types of trees. It's not just the white cedars, which are prevalent in some parts of Diggers Rest, and I'll come back to that in a moment. You probably have noticed throughout the municipality and well beyond our boundaries, they also have a prevalence in sugar gum trees, and you would have seen in the media in the last week a significant occurrence in inner Melbourne where they're affecting plane trees. So there's a wide diversity of locations where corellas like to hang out, so to speak. In terms of Diggers Rest itself, I have, in a previous answer, as you've alluded to, advised that within our municipality there's around about 2,700 white cedar trees, and there's two varieties of those trees that exist. So they're actually quite prevalent throughout our municipality, not all in Diggers Rest, but certainly there are some mature ones in Diggers Rest. Within the two estates you refer to, which are relatively new estates within Diggers Rest, the Bloomdale Estate and St. Genevieve's Estate, there's actually 27 different species of trees that have been installed throughout those estates, and that's typically done in themes. So certain streets will be planted in themes to have a level of consistency, yet a variety of trees throughout the estate. Some of those trees are white cedar trees. As I've suggested, there are two particular species. One is a species that has far less fruit on it. The other one, which is perhaps the more mature type of tree in Diggers Rest, is a far more prevalent in terms of the fruit that it produces. So it is true that within those two new estates there are some plantings of a white cedar nature. We'll obviously need to monitor those over time to see if the birds respond to those. They're obviously quite immature trees at the moment, and the trees that they've attacked previously in Diggers Rest were 30 to 40 years old, so it will take some time to get to that point, but we'll need to monitor that as the plantings mature. Thank you.
Second question from Mr. O'Connor reads, significant speculation exists regarding the development of the vacant land at 64 Old Calder Highway, Diggers Rest. In accordance with information provided by some community members, it is rumoured that the proposed development of 75 odd residential lots will directly access the Old Calder Highway between the Diggers Rest General Store and Houdini's Cafe. Given the current traffic congestion and safety concerns at this location, is Council able to dismiss this proposal as nothing more than village gossip, or do the whispers contain some elements of fact? And if so, is Council able to provide any information regarding the proposal? Again, General Manager Planning and Development to respond.
Thank you, David, for your question. I can confirm that we do in fact have a planning permit application for subdivision of the site you refer to. The proposal is for 82 residential lots and 3 super lots. They're larger lots that could be further developed, typically for units. We have sought further information from the applicant in support of their application, and until such time as we receive that in a satisfactory form, we won't be able to proceed with the application. Once that is received, we will publicly advertise it. There will be the opportunity for residents to have input and object or support as they see fit. In the meantime, however, if you would like to see the application in its current form, you'd be more than welcome to view that at a time of your leisure. Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Mario Kasia. Mr. Kasia is in the gallery. Question reads, I thank the City of Melton giving us this opportunity to help forge a well-planned, vibrant city. with opportunities and reward, and help create the best livable city in Australia, and caring into the future. With all respect, please accept my apologies for speaking out at the last council meeting about the Aquatic Centre, but I would like to add something. They are talking the cost of $42 million. Now they are talking at last council meeting $50 to $60 million. I have myself spoken to two companies who can build two pools undercover for $12 million. I know you want a gym and other facilities, say another $10 million. Let's see myself and councillors and staff of the City of Melton get together and see if we can build it. Us overseeing it, who's mentioned on this for $22 million, and the saving go back into other projects, but $2 million going into a camping site in Port Albert for ratepayers to use, for ratepayers in Melton to use. So, Mr. Keisha. So, again, General Manager Planning and Development to respond.
Thank you, Mario, for your question. As you recall, Council in recent times adopted an aquatic strategy which outlined Council's or the community's need for future aquatic centres throughout the municipality, having regard to the fact that we have one at the Melton Waves in the Melton Township. The strategy identified a site in Beaties Road in Hillside for a future aquatic facility to service the wider catchment. The site for that to occur has not yet been acquired. It's part of a future precinct structure plan which will be developed in the forthcoming years, which will provide the opportunity for Council to acquire the site at that time. The pool itself is in broad terms detailed, sorry, the facility is broadly detailed in Council's strategy in terms of the particular uses that will be within it. It has not, however, been designed, so it's not really possible to cost it in the way that you've attempted to do in your question. Once it is fully designed, Council would go to a full open tender process to ensure that we've got best value for money for the community, but thank you for your offer.
Second question from Mr. Kosher this evening is, with respect to all, everything I talk about is logic and common sense. I see things making views and headlines on TV and newspaper. The most recent is to help first home buyers. It's a federal initiative, Land First Home Buyers Money for a Deposit, First Home Buyers Money for a Deposit of their first home, a percentage, and they pay it back slowly and with low interest. As the Kasha family, they are proposing on half of the land to build 200 townhouses and rent it out to the above people at half price rent to good quality people and families. As helping first home buyers, it creates all these local jobs in building and construction and the connected jobs. As new housing in our area caters for 65% of local jobs, Melton is over 400 kilometres square and only 5% is developed. And I think the Kasha family land use proposal off Clark's Road is the only type of service to help address the Aussie dream of owning your own home. Let's all embrace this, and we feel that the City of Melton, it's part of us. To all, thank you. So again, Luke Shannon to respond.
Thank you, Mario, for your question. I'm quite sure that Council are well aware in broad terms of your proposal for your property in Clark's Road adjacent to Caroline Springs. You'll be aware that the Victorian Planning Authority, who are responsible for planning for the precinct structure plans, will soon embark on developing a precinct structure plan for the area which incorporates your property. That will be somewhat informed when the state government fully defines where they see the regional park being located, which will also be in that broad vicinity. However, as I've indicated to you in the past, you should continue to work with the Victorian Planning Authority to have your input through that process. Thank you.
That's a question of statement.
That's something that we can answer there. You know what I mean? Plus the reason's gone up so much. It might be something that's like that.
Thank you, Mario. Thank you for the question.
Thanks, Mario.
Next question, Mr. Mayor, is from Louise Dersalen, who is in the gallery. Question reads, can you please explain how the traffic will be managed on 5 prayer times a day minimum? 60 cars a day by 5 times a day is 300 cars. 300 cars by 7 days a week equals 2,100 cars a week. 2,100 cars by 52 weeks equals 109,200 cars a year. This is a conservative estimate. Readily could be triple that, 900 cars a day, which equals 328,500 cars a year. Please explain how the noise effect can be managed from traffic, and especially call to prayer disrupting the environment of Melton. As the original building plan has changed from the acoustic study originally done, how can you approve this without proper investigation and consultation with the Melton community? Again, Mr. Luke Shannon to respond.
Thank you, Louise, for your question. As I pointed out earlier, this is the subject of item 12.9 in Council's agenda tonight, so it will be further considered after these public questions. In terms of the issues you raise in your question, firstly in relation to traffic, obviously the numbers you provide based on the projected usage of the facility as outlined in the application, that is 60 people praying at the facility at any one time. Your numbers also assume that there would be one person per car attending the site. That remains to be seen as to whether that's actually what occurs or whether in fact there's multiple people in individual cars. Harkness Road itself, as you'll be aware, services the surrounding largely rural residential area, but as you head further south, it actually services a residential area, particularly the Arnold's Creek Estate, and you'll be aware that Claridash Boulevard, which services the main thoroughfare through the Arnold's Creek Estate, intersects with Harkness Road, and as residential development continues to occur south of Arnold's Creek, the road will become busier with residential-related traffic. So it's arguable in terms of how much this proposed use will add to what will actually be on a road that was designed to carry significant volumes of traffic. In relation to the issue of noise, the application included a noise assessment by a experienced and well-qualified acoustic consultant, and if it does proceed, the proponent will be required to incorporate every element of those design details into the final design of the building. And I should note also that all activity is proposed to occur within the building as distinct from outside it, and equally there will be no external speakers, audio speakers on the outside of the building. In relation to consultation, I'm aware that issues of concern have been raised in the past about the level of consultation and whether it could have been further spread or not. The application has been advertised and the report refers to some 198 objections received. So I think from that number of objections, it's quite a well-known application within the community, and certainly those in the immediate affected environment are aware of the proposal. Thank you.
And the final question this evening, Mr. Mayor, is from Ralph Schumann. And Mr. Schumann's in the gallery. Question reads, re-proposed Melbourne Islamic Centre and Mosque. Since the layout of the mosque is clearly for 400 plus worshippers, do councillors have confidence in the developer's assurances there will be no more than 60 worshippers at any one time? Once the limit of 60 is exceeded and the actual intention of the developer becomes clear, can council guarantee to residents that the mosque will be shut down? Again, Mr. Luke Shannon to respond.
Thank you, Ralph, for your question. As you point out, the application is for 60 worshippers for the place of assembly. Council is bound to consider the application as presented, so it can't make assumptions that it could become something else into the future. The application is for 60 worshippers. In the event that the applicant does receive a permit through this application process, they will be obliged to meet every condition on their permit. So, for example, if they somehow seek to exceed or do exceed 60 worshippers at any one time, council would undertake enforcement action as they would against any permit applicant in breach of their permit. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, that concludes public question time.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey. Presentation of staff reports. Item 12.1.
Mr. Mayor, could I move a procedural motion to move to block items 12.1, 13 and 12.17 and accept their recommendations as printed.
Moved by Councillor Ramsay, seconded by...
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Medlick, does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Item number 12.9, final application PA 2017/5728, use and development for a place of worship at 171-197 Harkness Road, Harkness.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Right, I have a motion to put to council regarding this proposal.
This is an alternate motion?
Sorry?
An alternate motion?
Yes, yes, and I'll read it out and I'll deliver it to you. I seek to have the planning application, PA 2017-5728. Use and development for a place of worship at 171-197 Harkness Road. Set aside for a period of no less than 4 months to give time for council officers to source expert opinions and advice from the Regional Cemeteries Trust, State Government of Victoria and other expert witnesses in the future development of the land described in the above. Two, Dr. Dalhouse, through Federation University, be consulted on possible use of the land described and ask of his availability to give councillors a full briefing on potential for Harkness Road, Gilgai affected developments.
Is that a complete, Councillor Hardy?
That's it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Alternate motion moved by Councillor Hardy. Moved by Councillor Hardy, do I have a second?
Mr. Mayor, can I just seek a little bit of clarification and see if I could have an extra dot point added to that notice of motion for deferral?
Carry on, Councillor Ramsay.
Firstly, was it 4 months that he has asked for the document to lay on the table?
I thought you said 12.
How long did you say? I couldn't hear it.
Sorry.
How many months, Councillor Hardy?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Not less than 4 months.
Not less than 4 months. And could I ask for a third dot point to be added to that, where some community consultation, further community consultation be considered? Well, not only considered, but had.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to have that included in the motion.
Moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Ramsay with an extra point added. Does any councillor oppose? Or does anyone need any clarification from Councillor Hardy or the officers?
Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Carley.
Thank you. Could Councillor Hardy please repeat his amended notice of motion? I did hear Councillor Ramsay's extra dot point, but if Councillor Hardy could just please repeat that. Thank you.
If I can I defer to Councillor Ramsay for that dot point, but I'm happy to give the first two. I seek to have the planning application, PA 2017, and it's written here, I'm happy to handle that later, 5728, use and development for the place of worship at 171-197 Harkness Road, Harkness. Set aside for a period of no less than 4 months to give time for council officers to source expert opinions and advice from the Regional Cemeteries Trust, the State Government of Victoria and other expert witnesses in the future development of the land described above. Two, Dr. Dalhouse, through Federation University, be consulted on possible use of the land described and asked of his availability to give councillors a full briefing on potential for Harkness Road, Gilgai affected developments. The third dot point I don't have, if Councillor Ramsey would be
just,
so kind.
Just that extensive community consultation be
undertaken. Moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Does any Councillor oppose the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to talk on that motion too, by the way.
That's fine. Opposed by Councillor Bushy. Does any other Councillor oppose the motion? Councillor Hardy, you can talk, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's a little bit long-winded, so we're pleased with your indulgence. The report that I have within my reach is some 700 pages deep, and it's rather technical, so I've summarised it to best. So I'll start here. Use and development for a place of worship, Harkness Road. The subject site of 10.45 hectares, and located on the eastern side of Harkness Road, is applying for a permit for the purposes of a place of worship with associated car parking landscaping. Right. The land is affected by a Kilgai, let's say, soil issue, and it lies between the cemetery land as where it's located now. There is then the land that's applying for the application, and then is Kilgai environmental land. And if I can continue. The history of the land was an investigation into land by ULA, Urban Land Authority, to determine its availability for the establishment of a regional cemetery. The scope of the report addresses the engineering geological conditions which are of concern to the urban land or urban development of the site. Recommendations of this report are made in respect to the site geological conditions only and do not take into account other factors such as preservation of the environment which may affect development conditions. An engineering geological investigation was carried out of the land at Melton. It determined the viability of subdivision and house construction. The site has two serious limitations: deep, expansive soils and active soil subsidence, which will require expensive engineering solutions. A description of geological and pedology is detailed, and the potential development hazards to go with some possible engineering applications are discussed in the report. Further, the report conducted by the Department of Minerals and Energy, overarched by the Urban Land Authority and the Mortuary Industry and Cemetery Administrating Committee, the fourth report to Parliament, of which David Cunningham, the former member for Melton, was on that committee. A further report was made by Dr. Dalhouse, Senior Research Fellow at the Federation University. The following were statements made at the VCAT hearing on 6th of July 2015. Expansive soils constitute a geohazard that it must be considered within the context of the landscape, just as other geohazards are salinity, flood, earthquakes, landslides, collapsing soils. Landscape and hydrology changes on one property may in time result in deep-seated expansive soil responses on a neighbourhood property, especially where close urban development has occurred that has changed the pre-existing soil hydrology regime. The West Melton soil on the site exhibits three-dimensional movement over distances of many metres, as observed by the subtle Gilgai development. Soil that is affected by Gilgai exhibits shrinkage cracks appearing in summer, can extend from the surface to the entire depth of soil profile, and in some cases up to 8 metres deep. Kilgais are formed by extreme reactive soil movements and are identified as undulating surfaces structures which are indicative of highly expansive soils and which give rise to the variability of soil layering over short distances. A major problem facing the development of the regional cemetery is the expansive nature of the soils. Of the 265 hectares surveyed site, which is the regional cemetery site, 45 hectares was identified as totally unsuitable for burial purposes and cemetery works. A further area of approximately 70 hectares in the northwest of the property was described as unsuitable for cemetery and other works development due to sinkhole soil characteristics, the soil surface being affected by subsidence. Subsequent to the release of this report, the Health Department made a firm offer to purchase 128.5 acres from the original 265, and the reason why, from the Urban Land Authority for cemetery purposes. Dr. Dalhouse holds a Director of Philosophy in Hydrology and a Master's degree in Engineering Geology, and is an expert in the geology, geomorphology and soils of the Melton area.
Councillor Hardy, you nearly finished. You've gone well over time.
If I may, and I'll just finish off. The engineering geology mapping for the Melton development area was from 1982 to 89 and undertaken by the Geological Survey of Victoria Division of the State Government Department of Industry, Tech and Resources. The area of investigations covers the Urban Land Authority land and Regional Cemetery Trust land. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Ramsey, do you wish to...
Yep. Could I ask a question before I get into my discussion?
How deep is it?
Very quick. How come you couldn't give him a nudge? Mr. Baggio...
Point of order, Mr. Mayor. Shouldn't it be my opportunity now?
Ask your question first, Councillor.
Can I? Thank you. Mr. Baggio, has the Australian Cemetery Trust or the Regional or Metropolitan Cemetery Trust been notified of this application, and did they respond in any way?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, as an adjoining owner of the site, they were notified of the application, but they haven't elected to lodge a submission to the application.
Thank you. Councillor Lucy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just a little bit confused about, I know that the community's here because they want a decision, which I think is a good thing, but I don't understand, firstly, what is Councillor Hardy reading from? What is he citing? I'm unclear about why it's going to be potentially be deferred for a period of 4 months, based on what? And I'd like to hear from council officers about what is this that he's reading from? What are we arguing here?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I'm happy to make comment. This was the Urban Land Authority request to the Minerals and Energy Department to identify a potential site for the placement of a cemetery in Melton. And there was a Geological Survey of Victoria, and as I said, there are numerous documents that go with it, but that's the documentation that comes from it. It's a government department responding to another government department for identification of a proposed cemetery, which is now the cemetery, as we know, the Melton Cemetery, to be into the future.
Why is that relevant to the application for the place of worship?
Okay, the land, the placement of the current applicant is the cemetery. Then you've got the applicant, and then you've got Gilgoy. And the Gilgoy land is the difficult, and what the government at the time and the parliament signed off was they removed this land from the original siting of the cemetery. The siting of the cemetery was 260-odd hectares, and they reduced it down to 120. They removed it off the original scoping of the works because they identified it was unsuitable. And the difficulties we have now is it's the building, or let's say, of what is going to go on the land. It's the suitability of what is going to happen with that land. Not anything else, just the suitability for the soil conditions. And that's why we need expert advice and the government and also the trust and whatever to get around the table and give us that information if possible. If that answers you, I'm happy.
Councillor Bushy, I think you asked if an officer could assist with this.
Yes, please, because maybe Brian, I don't understand what
some
this is about.
Information about this, please.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'll do my best. I'm certainly aware that in the mid-1980s, the Urban Land Corporation commissioned at least one report in terms of the cemetery site, but also in terms, it would appear, in terms of the opportunity to develop land for residential purposes in Harkness Road, so in close proximity to where the cemetery site now exists. I've more recently read a report in relation to the latter issue, which related, as I said, to the opportunity to develop a site for residential purposes on Harkness Road. The report concluded there were a number of issues which ultimately meant that the land was not developed for residential purposes, that is, for houses on in a residential setting. Firstly, there was no services there. There was no water, sewer, gas or anything, so it was unserviced. It did highlight the fact that the soils in that general area were volatile, which is quite normal within the city of Melton. The soils are very volcanic, so they contract and expand subject to the weather conditions, and that's quite normal throughout our municipality, unfortunately, but you can design a building to cater for that. The report that I've seen refers to if the land that was defined in the report, which appears to be immediately to the north of the subject site, was to be developed, then certain engineering controls would need to be put in place to ensure proper building practice, if you like. The specific report Councillor Hardy's referring to, it may well be a different report, it's the same author and it's of a similar era. It sounds like it may be related to an adjoining site, perhaps specifically the cemetery site, but I haven't seen that report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Councillor Bushy.
So we're basing this on a report from the 1980s, a report that obviously council officers haven't used in their assessment process of this application, and a report that VCAT didn't consider when the applicant went to VCAT. So we are going to defer the application for what reason again? To get experts in again to talk to us about a report that the authorities haven't recognised and won't recognise. Is that what I'm hearing? Councillor Hardy?
Yes, the answer to your question is these are government departments who made the reports, put the reports to Parliament. Parliament of Victoria signed it off, and in their wisdoms excised X amount of land off that they found unsuitable. Now, the reports have been around for that long, but the issue there is that the land was, geologically surveyed. 1,100 bores were put to the land, and that includes a cemetery, that includes the land that is under for the proponent, and also Gilgai area.
Mr. Mayor, point of order. We've had this. The questions deferred.
Councillor Ramsey, please sit down. Councillor Hardy, please make it short. Just finish up.
Yeah. So the end result is that right, I'm reading directly off. There is no words that I've added to it. I'm reading directly off the state government report, the Minerals and Energy report, under the auspice of Department of Industry, Technology and Resources.
Thank you. Councillor Bushy.
Yep. I just want to ask another question of our experts. Why wasn't this report then used in the assessment of the application?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The report in question dates back 33 years.
I'll ask a question again. Is it relevant today? Is it a requirement that when we're assessing these applications in this precinct, is it relevant to refer to a 33-year-old or whatever it is report?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it's not specifically relevant, and for that reason it's not addressed in the officer's report.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, back to the alternate motion.
Are we entering into debate, Mr. Mayor?
We are. Councillor Ramsey has to come back now. Councillor Bushy's finished.
He's finished?
Yes.
I thought he was just asking questions. Sorry, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. I haven't got an issue deferring it. In fact, I've got an alternate resolution ready to go as far as I'm concerned. I have severe
concerns in regards to the community consultation component, the road, traffic, noise.
Councillor Ramsey, can you deal with this, please? I think you're dealing with yours.
It's part of this,
okay,
Mr. Mayor. Thank you. I'd hate to correct the Mayor, but yeah, it is part, C.
Thank you.
At the end of the day, I will support the deferment for 4 months, if that be the case, to seek other expert opinion, consult with those that know, get a relevant report if it's 33 years, but also consult with the community, because at the end of the day, the sighting next to a cemetery, I have got some serious concerns about.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Does any other councillor wish to speak in opposition?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I would like to just say that in line of the new information that Councillor Hardy has provided today, I can't in all good conscience make a decision on any planning application until a further study and more information is made. A councillor can bring any new information into the chamber to the last minute, and I haven't heard of this study as early as today, this morning. I haven't certainly had a chance to look at it or read it. I'm concerned of the safety issues of the actual particular land, and considering that the applicant had 5 years to take this permit and act on it, they haven't, and it's expired, so they had 5 years. I don't think 4 more months or even 6 months is going to make much of a difference. I don't think they're in a hurry to build, so I don't have an issue with deferring the motion or the application until further information is provided.
Thank you, Councillor Medlick. Does any other councillor wish to speak on the matter before we vote? Okay. Alternative motion 12.9, moved by Councillor Hardy, seconded by Councillor Ramsey. All those in favour of the motion? Is there any councillor opposed the motion? I declare the motion carried.
I'd like to ask for I'd like to call for a division, Mr. Mayor.
Division called. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Mendez, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Carey, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Medlick, Councillor Ibushi, Councillor Turner. I declare the motion carried. It's a motion 12.5.
No, it's
my
one.
No. You got me there, Phil.
Close,
15.5. Thank you, gentlemen and ladies. Thank you. Okay. Yep, that's fine. Notice motion 15.4, Councillor Bushy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. When I get this thing going. So you met my notice of motion, Mr. Mayor?
Correct.
15.4. Yes, Mr. Mayor, I move that the Council write to the Minister for the Environment and the Minister for Planning requesting that the property at 1352 to 1402 Western Highway owned by the Albanian Australian Community Association be considered as part of the current work being undertaken by the Victorian Planning Authority and the Department of Environment, Land, Border and Planning to define the boundaries of the regional park within the Corroit Precinct Structure Plan. Part 2, so as to give them certainty in respect of the future use of the land. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Moved by Councillor Bushy. Does any Councillor have any questions for Councillor Bushy, just because he wants to clarify it? Okay, Councillor Miller, you wish to second it? Councillor Carley, second?
Yes, I'll second that. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare it carried.
Mr. Mayor, can I call for a division, please?
Of course you can. Division called. All those in favour? Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis. I'll wait till the door shuts. It's not shutting.
You better shut. Open the door.
Can you please? Please. Councillor Ramsey, we're dealing with notice of motion 15.4. And are those in favour of the motion 15.4? Those in favour of the motion?
I've asked for a division.
You've asked for a division. You haven't lost it yet.
Councillor
Maid, leave. Councillor, no, I know where you are. I know where you have to. Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Turner, Councillor Bushy, and Councillor Maid. Against Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Mendez, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Harry. I declare motion carried. Back to Advisory Committees of Council, aggregated minutes.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to move this item, however, with a slight change on page 27.
12.2, back to the beginning.
And the slight amendment on page 27 is the minutes. Recommendation 4. It was moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Maidlick. So if that could be changed, that would be great.
So might I suggest, Mr. Mayor, that Councillor Maidlick move that Council note the minutes of the advisory committee, the meetings at appendix 1, 2, 3, with the amendment on page 27 of those minutes, that the motion, the recommendation was moved, was seconded by Councillor Maidlick, not Councillor Carley, as recorded.
Well said, Mr. CEO.
And secondly, that adopt the recommendations arising within those minutes.
Correct.
Moved by Councillor Maidlick, seconded by Councillor Hardy.
As Chair, Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to second that motion.
Thank you. All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. 12.3, points of notes, motion 501. Mr. Bean.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is reports being written in response to a notice of motion that Councillor Hardy had put before Council on the 21st of August 2017. At that meeting, it was resolved that officers develop and implement a training program for Melton City residents, small businesses and contractors that would in fact skill them to enable them to tender for Melton City Council contracts. In a review carried out in 2016, council officers had also identified a similar gap to what Councillor Hardy had raised in the business training offering of council. Namely, it was a gap between the quality of submissions required to win council tenders and the capacity of local businesses to write high-quality tender submissions that would potentially see them be in sound contention to win contracts. After consideration of options, it was decided to trial some workshops, branded Tender Right workshops, that were delivered by Federation University on behalf of Council. Two initial separate half-day workshops were delivered in May and August of 2017 as part of Council's Small Business Victoria Festival. A total of 20 participants from 18 businesses joined in those two sessions, and much was learned from that engagement and participation from those people. Subsequently, since then, two separate businesses, two participants, have made tender applications to Council, with one making it on to one of Council's trade services panel suppliers. And for the majority of participants, the biggest learning was that they should be positioning themselves to in fact supply services as a second-tier contractor to the larger organisations that are regularly winning Council's tenders. A session was organised in March, which has simply been postponed due to a number of reasons, one being of low numbers, but we've subsequently facilitated and organised two more sessions to be scheduled in May and July of this year. With this in mind, and this stated, Mr Mayor, I present to Council the recommendation as set out on page 82, and it reads that the report be received for information and staff continue to work with the business community to enable them to be competitive in tender opportunities. Thank you, Mr Mayor.
Do I have a mover for the motion?
Yeah, thank you, Mr Mayor. So I'd have great pleasure in moving the motion.
Thank you.
Moved
by Councillor Hardy. Do you have a seconder for the motion?
Mr Mayor, I'd like to second it.
Seconded by Councillor Kesich. All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. Move on to 12.5, response to notice of motion 545, assessment of Borough Court Reserve. Mr Heaney.
Thank you, Mr Mayor. Councillors, this was raised at the ordinary meeting of 26th of March 2018, and it was a notice of motion numbered 545, and it was raised by Councillor Carley. And the notice of motion reads that Council officers prepare a report and investigate what park infrastructure is needed to activate the space / reserve located on the corner of Jacaranda Drive and Webb Avenue, situated in Taylors Hill. So just some background exec summary for your councillors. A reserve is classed as what we call a local standard reserve, and it's named as a Bureau Court Reserve, and it's approximately 0.5 hectares in size. Just for consistency, councillors, we've attached an appended document that gives you a better view of what that reserve looked like and how it sits in the residential area of Taylors Hill. It is bordered by Hume Drive to the north and the municipal boundary to the east, Calder Park Drive to the west and Towers Road to the south. The reserve originally was part of the development in 2003, which was part of the Watervale residential development, and is one of what is seven local reserves in the precinct that services a population of about 5,600 of those seven reserves. This reserve, though, the catchment that it bounds, we believe, deals with about 1,300 residents, although a proportion of this deals with the other recreational sites in Taylors Hill. The reserve was assessed as part of the strategic work raised by Council a number of years ago, and that's back in 2013, as part of the Parks and Reserves Assessment Project, which provided the basis for the Parks Development Program back then and is still a program today. The recommendations of the assessment are listed on page 88, and it was noted, I suppose, one of those points, that any upgrade or development of the reserve would be considered as a medium to long-term priority rather than a short-term priority, noting this still goes back 5 years already. Activation of the reserve will be interpreted differently by residents of the area, and consultation with the residents, of course, would be critical if further work would need to be undertaken to develop this reserve. In the financial considerations, obviously there's nothing in the budget for the development of this reserve that relates to this notice of motion, but the officer's costs to install such things on a small reserve like this of seating and play equipment would be in the vicinity of $60,000. And I suppose the important part for the officers and the council is that there has been no consultation undertaken with any of the community on upgrading this reserve, and if it was an initiative in the future, that would become a priority for the council and the officers. So the recommendation I put to your council is that council refers the further development of Bural Court Reserve to the review of the Parks Development Program for consideration, including, of course, a community consultation process. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, councillors.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney.
Madam Mayor,
so here,
Mr. Mayor. Mayor. Did it again.
Do I have a mover for this motion?
I'm happy to move it, Mr. Mayor, but I'm not. Just on mine, it actually says consultation process, which yeah. I understand would be consultation.
Yeah, sure, consultation process.
Yeah, but I'll definitely move the recommendation. And thank you to Mr. Heaney's team for putting together this report.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by.
I'm happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Mendez. Does any council oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. 12.6. Notice motion 549, Caroline Springs Library Civic Centre usage and option for extension. Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And councillors, again, this was raised as a notice of motion, goes back to 26th of March 2018, and this was raised by Councillor Ibushi. The council officers provide a report on the existing Caroline Springs Library Civic Centre usage, the options for extension to the west side of the facility or the building, with a focus of increasing patronage, is what it read. So some background on the facility for the councillors. The Caroline Springs Civic Library delivers a range of council services, which includes obviously the library services, customer service delivery, and space for the community to access and obviously hire. It has a small gallery space to the east end of the building and also provides accommodation for council departments. It also is the main library adjoining Lakeview College, and per the development of the joint use agreement between Council and the Minister of Education a number of years ago, the agreement is through up to 2028, and obviously the library is the school's library until such that time expires. The opening hours of the facility is worth noting, and they were only extended as part of a library service review only about 5 months ago. And those opening hours, I won't read them, can be noted at the top of page 91. So there's some numbers on visitations, and as you can see, it's only increased, I would say, marginally over those number of years. It gives you some visitations to the library itself and the facility. It talks about the building occupancy of the facility. The existing facility has capacity of 500 people to be accommodated within the building as it is at this time. And outside of peak times, the hourly usage varies between 20 and 90 visits. And obviously the hotspots of that is really between 3 and 4pm on school days because of the joint use agreement and the activity times that school students utilise that space. The meeting rooms, just to give you an overview, than just the library, there's some numbers that give you visitations, if you like, and programs for the meeting rooms in the Civic Centre Library and the attendances. The officers' view is the training rooms, if you like, currently utilised at probably about 59% capacity, similar to the meeting rooms and the interview rooms at a lower capacity of 29%. The gallery, as I said, is a small gallery space and is utilised for different programs throughout the year, depending on what services or functions or operations that council departments activate through a budget process or otherwise. It is a main point for customer service in the Eastern Corridor, so the customer service presence is at the foyer of the facility. Again, I touched on earlier, it provides accommodation for some staff departments and hot desk opportunities for staff to provide accommodation in that space accordingly if they're working down the eastern end. It's quite common that our staff would book what we call hot desks in that facility. I suppose getting on the option for extension to the west side of the building, As the existing footprint of the building is currently 2,500 square metres, which is a very large footprint for a library facility and shared use facility. Although saying that, there's potential to extend this facility at a point in time in the future, which would be to the western end towards the Caroline Springs Leisure Centre. The current footprint has capacity, I believe, to increase by another 750 to 1,000 square metres. And if I could just note that, that's at a single storey level based on that floor area. So if it was multiples, you would obviously multiply that and increase the floor area to whatever council seen fit at a point of time. There are opportunities to focus on increased patronage, and they're noted on page 93, and that's through some readjustments of the facility or more rooms within the facility. I touched on earlier the opening hours were reviewed in 2017 and have been increased accordingly and have been positive from a community or user point of view. Some budget figures, if you like, or estimates from our capital team estimates that if we were to increase the facility probably around 750 square metres, for example, and if I can just point you to the appended floor plan or elevations that gives you a sample of this, the 750 square metres would come around a single level of probably about $5 million, and further work would need to occur to detail what that actually would look like. From the officer's point of view, we believe we have the current space which is needed for quite some time to deliver the services that we have, and we also have capability to increase space within the current footprint of the building for that service delivery. So from the officer's point of view, I just note the officer's recommendation as presented on page 90 in this report, and really is just to note the assessment of the Caroline Springs Civic Library and Civic Centre, and the options, of course, for extensions, which I've talked about previously. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heath.
Mr. Mayor, sorry to interrupt you there. I'd like to recommend an alternate, a slightly different recommendation than what is currently being recommended by officers, if that's okay. And it would read that Council note the report and assessment of the Caroline Springs Library Civic Centre usage and options for extension, and that officers explore opportunities to create a formal process for users to access private study space as a trial period in the Caroline Springs Library.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Does any Councillor require any further clarification?
Yes,
on the motion
Mr. Mayor.
Or on the alternate?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Right, if I may, is it Council's view to, when we are doing extensions and also new builds, to include an ability to do multi-storey in the groundworks? As land is becoming very scarce, we've obviously got a view that we need to go upstairs. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Hardy. Mr. Shannon, maybe?
Mr. Mayor, I can answer that. It is a possibility, as I touched on. This only gives you an indication of a single floor or level, but if Council had a desire to have multi-level approach in Caroline Springs, the answer is yes, I suppose.
Sorry. Yeah.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, could I have clarification on what you mean by sound private study space? What is it you're actually picturing?
Just an area where it's completely silent for exam preparation, SWAT vac, but just at the moment, because it's so heavily used, there's nowhere where they can go where it's completely silent like libraries normally are.
You're
so
like a corral area that's closed
yeah.
off?
Yeah, or even an area where it's closed off, and if you want to go in there, your phone has to be off, no internet, or you can have internet but no music, no talking, no, just like it's, I don't know, maybe I'm too old, but back in my day we had yeah. no talking in the library.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Hardy.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Sorry, Murray. I was talking about all future facilities, not necessarily only Caroline Springs, but all future developments. Are we looking at, in designing, in the ability to go upstairs in the design build?
I can answer this, I think, and I know Mr. Tory's dying too, but are we? The answer is no. but were applicable in the future. If it is it a council initiative, yes. So the facilities that we're designing now, the answer is no.
So my answer to that, Councillor Hardy, would be that council undertakes a needs assessment on any building that we're proposing to construct, and also an anticipation of what the future needs might be. If there's a reasonable expectation that the future demand will exceed what can be accommodated on a single storey, it will be specced up to potentially have a double storey at a point in the future, or have an initial two-storey element, such as we're looking at with some of the buildings under design at the moment, and leave some space for a future extension that might also be two-storey. But having said that, one of the problems with constructing a single-storey building that has a foundation that's capable of a second storey is if it's 30 years down the track when you go to put the second storey on, often the cost of refurbing the first floor to accommodate a similar standard of accommodation as the second storey extension will accommodate makes it totally unviable or impractical to go down that path, and you're better off demolishing and starting again. And it's an assessment on each building based upon the demand projections that apply in the knowledge that we have today. And that's,
Thank you very much for a detailed position, and it's always on a needs and assessment on the availability and also costs obviously coming to ensure that we get the best bang for our buck. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Does any council need any further clarification?
I don't really want to get into this discussion. In regards to a quiet place, are there meeting rooms at the moment that could be utilised, seeing it's only basically before school and after school where there may be students there for a shorter period of time that need that study or that swap back? Is there a meeting space there that could be utilised? No, I know there aren't sound walls there that can block out the sound from outside, but is there something that can be done to
There's meeting rooms and spaces available at the moment that might have windows of opportunity throughout the day, so we're not... That's the work the officers would have to do.
Okay.
For example, we wouldn't be saying at the moment we'll completely close down a meeting room. I suppose that's the initiatives we have to look at.
Yeah.
So, 'cause some of those meeting rooms may be booked for the 6 or 8 months through a process already.
That's
right. So that's, so long as the councillor is happy with that, we'll pursue it. If it is endorsed.
Yeah, just, sorry, just to add to that, if it's okay, Mr. Mayor. I spoke briefly tonight to Troy, the manager of the libraries, and he did say that you can access the meeting rooms for private study space, but it's not advertised and there's no formal process for that to occur. So hopefully this will encourage...
And second dot point.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. Does any other council want any more clarification? Moved by Councillor Wushi, seconded by...
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to second that.
Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. 12.7, response to notice of motion 537, Tuam Regional Park.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of this report is to provide a response to notice motion 537 by Councillor DeSantis, which was tabled at the Ordinary Council meeting of the 5th of March 2018. Requesting that council officers provide a brief report on the status of Tuam Regional Park State Government Funded Initiative. In 2002, State Government released Linking People and Spaces, which was a document that sought to establish the open space network for metropolitan Melbourne and addressed the need to establish 6 new regional parks across Melbourne's growth corridor. 2 parks were identified in the city of Melton, one adjacent to Tuam Creek, which is now called Tuam Regional Park and the subject of this report, and another one at Corroy Creek. At the Ordinary Council meeting of the 26th of February 2007, Council resolved to hand over land identified for the regional park at Tuam, which is outlined in Appendix 3 to this report, so page 102, subject to Parks Victoria committing $3.27 million to establish in the park by the end of the 2009-2010 financial year. It's important to note
that while the council report of 2007 did foreshadow the need to consider the design and access of the park as part of the future growth area of, for planning for Tullin, this work didn't commence until sometime after the council meeting. Work commenced in the preparation of the Tullin precinct structure plan in 2007, and that included the majority of the land identified for the proposed regional park, and that can be found on page 100 attached to this report. And in 2010, an extension to the urban growth boundary saw the inclusion of a southern section of the proposed regional park, which had previously been excluded from the urban growth boundary. This was subject to a separate PSP, which was called Tullin Park, which was prepared in 2012 and adopted in 2014. And a copy of that plan is in page 101. Both the PSPs have provided the land use framework, zoning, access requirements, including pedestrian bridge crossing for the regional park, and enabled detailed discussions on the transfer of the land from council to the state government to commence. It should be noted that while there's been a delay in the transfer of the land, partly as a result of the PSP process, a master plan, which is contained in Appendix 3 for the regional park, was developed and finalised in 2009, and some works, such as the shared paths and some seating areas, have been implemented. Since the approval of the PSPs, there have been a number of meetings between council officers and the relevant representatives at Parks Victoria in respect of the transfer of land, and work is currently progressing to exchange correspondence, which will provide in-principle agreement with state government for the formal transfer of the land for the regional park, and this will be linked to the construction of the first stage of a proposed arterial road to the south of the park, which will provide direct access into the future regional park. Council officers have also established a quarterly meeting with Parks Victoria and the Department of Environment, Land, Water and Planning to refine and update the 2009 Master Plan to ensure it is integrated with the recently constructed Bridge Road Regional Active Open Space, the various wetlands and other existing developments that have been constructed since the approval of this Master Plan. Whilst the transfer has been delayed, there is limited risk to council, as several adopted state policy documents, including the PSP, identify this land for the purposes of a regional park, with the state government as the responsible agency for the delivery of the park. It is therefore recommended that council note the progress and current process being undertaken by council officers in collaboration with the Department of Environment, Land, Water and Planning and Parks Victoria in respect to the transfer of the land for the future Tullin Regional Park. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Mellon. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Do I have a mover for the motion?
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, can I just ask Roger something, if possible? I just wanted to know that, is it possible that at these quarterly meetings that we have some report back to council, just so we know where the stages are at? Are we able to do that?
Yep, that's fine.
Is that okay? And also, I was just wondering about the Melbourne Water Levy, where it says the parks levy that we pay the $70 or $80 per year for in our rates. If this can be transferred over to the parks levy, then we can activate the park and this money can be used towards that. Is there any way that can be, is there a time frame on when that can happen? Or?
I'm not aware of that. I can ask the question of Melbourne Water and Parks Victoria our next meeting and report back.
Yeah, if we could maybe just get that transferred over, because then that money, we can use that towards the park and we can maybe activate it a little bit quicker, other than waiting for roads to come in and stuff, because sometimes that can be delayed. So I just would really like to see that be activated if possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Sonas. Do I have a mover for motion? Moved by Councillor Sonas.
I'd like to move that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'll second that. Thanks, Mr.
Councillor
Mayor.
Councillor Carley. Moved by Councillor DeSantis, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Item number 12.8. Amendment to C196, the Milton Plan Scheme, Ravenhall Concrete Segment Manufacturing Facility. Ms. Mellon again.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of this report is to consider providing a letter of support to the Cross Yarra Partnership for amendment C196 to the Melton Planning Scheme to be approved by the Minister for Planning under 20 Part 4 of the Planning and Environment Act. The request was made by Cross Yarra Partnerships, seeking Council support to amend the Melton Planning Scheme to allow the development of a concrete manufacturing facility on land located at 1198 Christie's Road, Ravenhall, which is part of the Borough's Deer Park site. And the plan on page 113 of the agenda identifies the site. The facility will be used to manufacture segments for the State Metro Tunnel project. To facilitate the timely delivery of this significant state project, Cross Yarra Partnerships is proposing to amend the scheme to exempt the concrete manufacturing facility from the normal requirements in the Melton Planning Scheme, namely a planning permit for construction of the project. The amendment would do the following. It would amend the schedule to clause 5203, which is about specific sites and exclusions, to allow for the proposed development and use in accordance with specific controls and conditions to be included in an incorporated document, which would essentially act as the planning permit. To amend the schedule to clause 6101 to make the Minister for Planning the responsible authority for the provisions which apply to the development and use of the land under for the development of the facility. And then to amend schedule to the clause 8101 to insert the incorporated document into the Melton Planning Scheme, which sets out the conditions for the construction and operation of the facility. The key components of the proposals are outlined in Section 2 of this report and an overview provided in the appendix, but they include a concrete batching plant, concrete segmentation production within a factory building, and a number of operations that will be undertaken in enclosed buildings, with remaining operations such as the concrete batching plant to be undertaken outside and subject to detailed dust and noise management plans, noting, however, that there is no sensitive uses within close proximity to the site, namely no residential uses. The site selection process and the subsequent design of the facility has taken into account the potential environmental, social and economic effects of the construction and the operation of the project, and it has been informed by several technical assessments, including reports on air quality, noise and vibration, surface water and stormwater management, transport and traffic. As part of the incorporated document, a detailed environmental management system will have to be put in place, and this will include a range of management plans which will deal with the traffic movement and management of the site, the dust mitigation measures and any other environmental management plans that are required. And these are detailed in Appendix 2, specifically at pages 17 and 18 of this report. Christie's Road, between the Western Freeway and Middle Road, forms part of the Vic Roads Gazetted B double network, and it is this route that's proposed for the access, utilising an existing access off the site into the proposed development. At the moment, there is approximately 4,000 vehicle movements a day on Christie's Road. However, it should be noted that over 2,000, or over 60% of these movements, are actually accessing Caroline Springs train station and not progressing down towards the proposed development site or to the quarry. In terms of the development itself, there will be an additional 246 vehicle movements per day, that's in and out, the majority of which is actually from staff vehicles, and only 56 of those movements would be from trucks, which is essentially about 28 deliveries in and out on average per day over the lifetime of the project. In terms of the standard of the road, it has been constructed to be double standard, so it is capable of taking the kind of tonnage that will be coming in and out of the site. And the route that would be taken for the large segments to be taken out the site and delivered into the city for the actual construction will be subject to a detailed traffic management plan, which council officers have suggested should be a condition of any principal support, that council get the opportunity to review these plans. The technical reports to date have shown that the environmental impacts are expected to be minimal and the transport impacts are also expected to be minimal. However, officers recommend that council provide in-principle support for the amendment, subject to but not necessarily limited to the following conditions. One, a pre and post project road dilapidation report, specifically on the Christie's Road section, with a commitment to undertake any remediation works by the Cross Yarra Partnership. Two, investigation is undertaken regarding any risks associated with the potential land gas migration from the nearby landfill, also on the Borrow Quarry site, and demonstrate that all state and federal legislated environmental responsibilities will be met, including specifically regarding dust and noise impacts. That Council is consulted on the development and ongoing monitoring of the environmental management system, which includes the traffic, dust and noise management plans, and that consideration is given to holding a community information evening in Caroline Springs to inform local residents and businesses about the project prior to the amendment being submitted to the Minister for Planning. In this context, it's recommended that Council write a letter to the Cross Yarra Partnerships providing conditional support for a ministerial amendment under 20 Part 4 of the Planning and Environment Act 1987 to facilitate the development of the Ravenhall Concrete Segment Manufacturing Facility, subject to the conditions outlined in Section 2 of this report, being resolved to the satisfaction of the General Manager of Planning and Development and the Manager of City Design, Strategy and Environment. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Mullen. Does any council require any further clarification? Councillor Kasich.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to know, we as Melton Council, what do we get building of this facility? That's part of the question. I mean, we are overloaded there in that area. We have a lot of problems there with tiny roads, with the trucks coming onto the other side, onto the other track, and we can't simply navigate through. We have a problem to reach Caroline Springs. Recently, the amount of trucks actually increased. The other thing is, I notice here that it is written that duplication of the road is typically warranted when volumes exceed 20,000 vehicles per day. I understand it will be just a 50-something extra trucks, but these trucks, they're going to make damage like 20,000 passenger vehicles. That's one of the things. And the last one, I would like to say, here is written also that council officers are in the process of reviewing the biodiversity report, but do not anticipate any issues that could not be managed through the provision of an appropriate offset conditions. Mr. Mayor, recently we asked extension of the car park, Caroline Springs Railway Station. They told us that there's a problem with biodiversity, that there is special herbs and flora and fauna, and now for this facility, which is maybe 300 meters away, we not anticipated any biodiversity report. Any biodiversity problems. So please, if anybody could explain to me just a few hundred meters we're not anticipating, and for the other one we can't build because of the flora and fauna endangered.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So I'll go to the biodiversity question first. This site is already a highly disturbed site, as it's had, you know, numerous activity over the years. It's also a site that is covered by the Commonwealth approval, which is the Biodiversity Conservation Strategy. It's done a detailed assessment of the area, and there was no vegetation found to be on this site, largely because of its highly disturbed nature. The car park location that you mentioned at Caroline Springs isn't covered by that same Commonwealth approval as it applied to the growth area elements. So we've actually, since the report was written, we've received the biodiversity report today, and they haven't found any vegetation, native vegetation on the land that requires to be removed. So there isn't any biodiversity issues there. In terms of the damage to the roads, as mentioned in the report, the existing road has the capacity to accommodate 20,000 vehicles. Our engineers have undertaken an assessment of the transport reports received, and we've also investigated the construction of Christie's Road and the standard that it's constructed to. It is capable of taking additional vehicles, but to address the concerns raised, we have put the condition in about the dilapidation studies that we want done pre and post any works being undertaken, which means they would have to fix any damage that they made to the roads as part of the works, but it's considered to be a low impact. And in terms, I suppose, just one of the things it would bring to the area is that it's estimated that there would be 80,000 jobs created by the provision of the facility. and the local area. That's apprentices and operational jobs within the site.
Mr. Mayor, a tiny clarification. Who's going to guarantee that these 80 workers are going to be picked from our council?
Look, through you, Mr. Mayor. We couldn't guarantee that.
Of course. Yeah. So I strongly believe that only who's going to benefit from this will be Sanbury and Pakenham. And we're going to have a problem there with the turning to Caroline Springs. We're going to spend 2-3 hours waiting on traffic lights to get into Caroline Springs, especially if road needs to be fixed. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kesich. Is any councillor require any further clarification? Do I have a mover for the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move the recommendation, but also include the extra conditions as per outlined, which I believe they're on page 107. In particular, number 5, it says consideration is given to holding a community information session evening in Caroline Springs. I'm actually requesting that council change that to mandatory, so a mandatory community information evening in Caroline Springs to inform local residents and businesses about the project prior to the amendment being submitted to the minister. Also, if we could add, as part of the condition, that Cross Yarra Partnership, or CYP, use any alternative road that may be available, including any dirt roads behind or adjoining the land outlined for the project, taking into consideration the requirements and necessary steps to ensure that alternative roads are first made safe, for example, by sealing the roads first to an acceptable standard, as well as adding an extra condition requesting that a traffic management report be required outlining how both vehicle and pedestrian traffic will be affected should any alternative roads not be any roads be unavailable. And I can give you a copy of that so you don't have to furiously write. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Medwick. Moved by Councillor Medwick with
Mr. Mayor,
adjustments.
If you allow me, I would have one extra dot point to add, if you allow me.
Ask Cathy if she'll allow it to be added to her.
Thank you very
much. Happy to have another dot point added?
I'd like to hear it first, Mr. Mayor.
That Council requests a meeting with the Minister or their representative to discuss concerns around the Christie's Road and the impact this development may have.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, Councillors, move by Councillor Medlick, seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. Item number 1210, planning application PA 2017/5864, use and development of land for purpose of telecommunication facility consisting of a 30 metre high monopole with associated panel, antenna and equipment shelter at 171 to 197 Harkness Road. Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this report relates to a planning application for the installation of a new telecommunication facility on land which is known as 171 to 197 Harkness Road, which coincidentally is the land that was subject to the previous report, 12.9, which proposed the place of worship mosque. So the facility in this case, or the telecommunication facility, is proposed to be located 95 metres from Harkness Road and 8 metres from the northern boundary of the site, which is the site of the conservation reserve that we identified or that we outlined before. So the facility comprises a 30 metre high monopole which will contain both Optus and Vodafone antennas. So it's a co-located facility. So in this case, the application was advertised in the normal manner, and no objections were received to the application. So essentially, in terms of the assessment of the application, it's noted that Council in December 2017 adopted a policy specifically relating to communications infrastructure, which includes telecommunication facilities, and the policy provides direction for deployment of communication facilities within the municipality. And this includes provisions relating to the location and siting for carriers, ensuring that they avoid visually sensitive locations, and ensuring that infrastructure is provided appropriately within the municipality. Officers, following assessment of the application, consider that the proposal is generally consistent with that council adopted policy. It's the facility is not located in what's considered to be a visually sensitive location, and will blend well with the surrounds. In addition, the facility will, as I mentioned before, be a co-location between Optus and Vodafone. So, on that basis, Mr. Mayor, it's recommended that the application be supported and that a planning permit be issued as per the recommendation in the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any council require any further clarification?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Hardy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. While 12.9 is in abeyance, I think that we should defer this because of this is going in the ground. It is obviously going to disturb the soil, and also it has other arrangements and earthings and whatever that are going to do similar. It is just a mechanism to ensure that that it can be located properly in that challenged area. So I'm asking for a deferment until such time as we have expert reports say it can.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Does any other council require any clarification? Well, nobody's given me a motion yet. Are you putting that forward as a motion, Councillor Hardy?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, if it needs to be done that way, yes. Then we defer that until such time as we have the expert report to the site as per 12.9.
Moved by Councillor Hardy. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I would like
to second. Seconded by Councillor Kissage. Good timing. Does any council oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion?
No idea.
I declare the motion carried.
Sorry, I'm going to vote over, but can I just think that the deferment is similar to 12.9.
The motion was deferred until the expert report is to hand. That was the motion.
Whenever they get the report.
The motion was that the matter be deferred until the expert report is at hand.
Not less than 4 months.
Not less than.
Not less than
4 plus.
That was the original motion about the other matter. The motion that Councillor...
I'm referring to the motion that Councillor Hardy moved, which was, I think, verbatim, deferred until the expert report is to hand.
That is correct.
Okay. Happy, Councillor Ramsey? Never hardly.
I believe he was saying that the expert report was connected with 12.9, and he's asked for that to be a minimum of 4 months. No less than 4 months. So I was just asking the question.
Mr. Torrey.
Just for out of clarification, the previous motion had 3 dot points to it. This motion didn't. This motion simply said that the matter be deferred until the expert report is to hand. It didn't require further community consultation, didn't require any of the other elements of that initial report. So
if I
believe it's a different
matter. Mr. Mayor,
Mr. Hardy.
The expert report takes no less than 4 months. If it takes longer, it takes longer. That's what the answer is. Whatever it is, it is.
Fine. We've already voted anyway. It's already been carried. Item number 1211, Western Youth Kokoda Programme. Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is in relation to some correspondence we received from the police back on the 23rd of March 2018, and that correspondence was via email.
Mr. Mayor, I apologise. I don't think so that we voted on it on the previous one.
Yeah, we did.
I just seconded, but...
We did vote on it.
We did?
Oh, so, apologies. I don't remember.
Neither do I.
We vote after you come and sit down.
I do apologise if I made a mistake.
No, we did. We did vote on it. Then Sophie asked the question after we voted. See, after we voted. Yeah. Yeah. She throws me out too. Sorry, Mr. Heaney. Can you please continue?
All right, Mr. Mayor. I'll start again if that's okay. So this report is in relation to correspondence it received from the Melton Police via an email back on the 23rd of March 2018, and that documentation is attached in Appendix 1. And this seeks to the Council to support financially a program which is called the Western Youth Kokoda Program. It's an initiative to engage with young people from diverse backgrounds. The program will take people identified as being at risk and also identified as future leaders on a trek through the Kokoda Track. The purpose is to break down the barriers with police and build relationships that are hoped to drive positive community outcomes into the future. The total cost of the program is estimated at $116,000, and this will enable around about 21 young people, seven police members and a medic to walk the Kokoda Track and engage in the personal leadership development activities doing so. Currently, the Victoria Police are fundraising, if you like, for this initiative. The estimated cost per young person is around $4,000, which will cover flights, trek, vaccinations and other bits and pieces. About seven young people and possibly more are focused from Melton Police of our residents to attend this program. Minister Lisa Neville has committed $120,000 to fund two of the trips under the Western Youth Kokoda program. The cost of the program, as indicated, I said $116,000, and I'll note that again. This means that the cost of Victoria Police members must rise approximately $60,000. The first trip occurred in November 2017, so you're aware, and the next trip, of course, is occurring very shortly, which is 28th of May 2018. So the purpose of this report and the letter or the email seeking support is that Council, requesting Council to make a financial contribution after officers have assessed this. We believe that a contribution would be up to $10,000, but $1,000 per participant, but to a maximum of 10. So, i.e., if there's seven, it's $7,000. If it gets to 10, it's $10,000 and no more. So that is the recommendation on page 182, councillors, for your consideration. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Does any councillor oppose the motion?
Hang on.
Can I have a mover for the motion, please?
I would like to move it, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Kesich.
Thank you.
Seconded by...
Happy to second it, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Maidlett. All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. Item 12.12. Quality and Respect 2030. Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Again, as you stated, this is about Equality and Respect 2030. A strategy to prevent violence against women by promoting gender equity in our city. So Council's commitment to preventing violence against women is demonstrated through previous Preventing Violence Against Women and Children strategy, and that goes back to 2013 and 2016, which was a great initiative from this Council. Council's new Equality and Respect 2030, as it's titled, a strategy to prevent violence against women by promoting gender equity in the City of Melton, presents a long-term strategy that is aligned with the most recent national, state and local policies. And that document, Councillors, is attached as Appendix 1. The strategy articulates Council's stance, very strong stance, I must say, against violence against women, as outlined in the vision. a gender equitable community where everyone lives free from violence and discrimination, is treated with dignity, respect and fairness, has equal status, rights, opportunities and representation, and is empowered and included. And this, of course, obviously is in their relationships, workplaces and all areas of life. The strategy has two goals, one externally focused and one internally focused. And these are, one, the city of Melton is a gender equitable, safe and inclusive community. Two, Melton City Council is a gender equitable, safe and inclusive organisation. It's proposed that rolling two-year action plans will be presented in the future to Council once the officers do more work with this strategy. The strategy provides, as I said, a 12-year framework that outlines the goals and objectives to work towards community and the organisation that are gender equitable, safe and, as I said, inclusive. There are 10 objectives and implementations that will occur through the rolling two-year action plan, as tabled earlier. I won't read all of those, councillors, but they're on page 187 of this agenda. The action plans, of course, will be delivered to drive activities needed to achieve, of course, those objectives. The development of the action plans will be led by Council's Community Planning Unit and, most importantly, the Social Planning and Health and Wellbeing Team, along with other groups within the organisation. In regards to the consultation, it's been informed by diverse voices and experiences of more than 100 local community members. Specific consultation was undertaken with Preventing Family Violence Advisory Committee, the Sons of the West, the Daughters of the West participants, and key stakeholders such as Women's Health West, Jerriwarra Health Services, and obviously all of our internal teams. So, councillors, can I put forward to you this evening that Council adopts the Equality and Respect 2030, a strategy to prevent violence against women by promoting gender equity in the City of Melton, and as stated, that is referred to in Appendix 1. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any council require any further clarification? Do I have a mover for the motion?
You just turned it off, love. I'd like to move this. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor DeSantis. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'd like to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Mendez. Moved by Councillor DeSantis, seconded by Councillor Mendez. Does any council oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, can I just... I didn't want to beat everybody to my feet, but can I just say a huge thank you to Liz Smith, who's in the audience, for producing the report, and also to the other Liz who looks after our people and our organisation, because in 2018 you would hate to think that the words on the agenda are equality, respect and gender equity. So let's go. Thank you to each and every one of you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Item number 12.4, response to notice motion 511, Council involvement in promoting gender equity to prevent violence against women. Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Again, it's important because this has a close relationship, obviously, with the endorsed position the Council has just done or implemented. So this goes back to a notice of motion, and it was by Councillor DeSantis many, many months ago. That reads that officers prepare a report in relation to Council's involvement in promoting gender equity to violence against women, including the resourcing options. And you know why this report has taken so long? Because we felt that it had to align with the strategy that the officers have put together. So it's timely that it comes to the Council this evening. And the report responds to the above, which obviously is detailing the work the Council is currently doing, and I can touch on that. Well, I think you've just heard some of that, so I won't reinvent that. Identifying the relevant work the Council is committed to do in the future, and identifying the current resourcing, which includes gender equity and preventing violence against women in the portfolios, and outlining the options the council has excuse me, Madam, Mr. Mayor, in resourcing this portfolio work. So we can just touch on some existing council initiatives in relation to preventing violence against women, and that is council's committing to preventing to the prevention of violence against women, and there are a number of initiatives council has implemented in the past and is committed to on an ongoing basis. And these initiatives, of course, you would have seen, is implementation of the Take a Stand program with the council staff, the continuation of the enhancement of the White Ribbon Action Team, which has been really successful for the organisation, and community and council activities that include family violence prevention messages, I suppose, to the community, such as White Ribbon Day, the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence. I'll just move on to page 85 and the proposed council's initiative against violence against women through gender equity, and obviously that's what I've just presented to you, so I won't talk about that again. On the issue of achieving the additional resource to prevent violence against women, it's note that we have a social planning team, and within that social planning team we have two, if I could call it for the sake of making it a bit easier for council this evening, two health and wellbeing senior officers, I would call, one being in the gallery tonight, which has done some great work. So those officers work in the space of health and wellbeing, of which the gender equity will now be one. And it's important to note that they work across the organisation on health and wellbeing initiatives. So that's two EFT that's resourced up to do that. And obviously they will be well involved in this process after tonight and into the future. Any additional EFT that's required to meet on our action plans once council endorse that will be a subject of discussions between the executive and the team itself on the best way to develop those. So that's it in summary, Mr. Mayor. That deals with, I hope, notice of motion 511, which goes back many months. So really, I put you the recommendation as presented on page 84, that council continue to support existing and proposed initiatives regarding the promotion of gender equity to prevent violence against women in the line of equality and respect, and that is 2030. A strategy to prevent violence against women by promoting gender equity in the City of Melton. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any councillor require any further clarification?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Maitland.
Just out of curiosity, and I don't want to put anyone on the spot here, but does our council's, it's a new initiative, so I don't think we probably even know about it, but do we support the 100 Days for Change initiative?
No, I think is the answer for our officers.
Yeah.
Just checking. Does any other council require further clarification? Do you have a mover for the motion?
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I'm happy with the recommendation. Can I just alter it just a tiny wee bit? Is that possible? To read. So where it says that council continue to support existing and proposed initiatives, I'd like placed in that spot there, including resources to support more work in this area. And then it goes on to regarding the promotion of gender equity to prevent violence against women in line with Equality and Respect 2030, the strategy to prevent violence against women by promoting gender equity in the City of Melton.
Thank you, Councillor DeSantis.
Thank you. And can I please
move it to you? Moved by Councillor DeSantis with alteration to the motion.
Mr. Mayor, could I'd like to second that, but with a small additional point at the end of it, that also council officers investigate into supporting the 100 Days for Change initiative. And I know councillors will probably have a question about that, which I'm happy to answer if councillors are querying that, which I believe Councillor Ramsay might have.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Councillor DeSantis, are you happy to include that in your motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. That'd be fine.
Councillor Ramsay, you've got a question.
All I wanted to say, the 100 days of change came in towards the very end of my mayoral term, and we signed a letter supporting it on behalf of council that went across, but yes.
It's only not in the list.
It's very new.
Okay. No more clarifications? Do I have a mover and a seconder? Councillor DeSantis moved it, Councillor Merrick seconded it. Does any council oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, can I just say a couple of words, if possible?
Of course.
Thank you. Just in case everyone was not aware, this area is close to my heart. I'd like to see our organisation given the sufficient resources to be fully resourced to do all that it can in the promotion of gender equity and in the prevention of family violence against women in our community. Thank you to the Mountain City Council officers for the great work that you are all doing. And I'd like to see an increase in the work that Mountain City Council is currently doing in this field. Increase its commitment, activity and resources in the promotion of gender equity and the prevention of family violence against women within our community. I want everyone to know how committed Mountain City Council are to this cause, and I want everyone to see how much Mountain City Council want our residents to feel safe in their own homes and to work towards abolishing family violence in our city. Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you, Councillor DeSantis. Move on to 12.14. Contract 18/033, panel of providers for corporate training framework. Mr. Bean.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The background of this report is that council has a legal obligation to train and develop its staff. And in addition to that, council's executive is certainly committed to ensuring that staff continue to be developed. It sees this investment in
Mr.
its staff.
Mayor, could I ask for the recommendation to be put?
You can. Are you moving that motion, Councillor Ramsay?
I am.
Moved by Councillor Ramsay, seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. 12.15, contract 18/035, panel of providers for leadership training. Mr. Bean.
Mr. Mayor, could I also ask for this recommendation to be put, please?
Moved by Councillor Ramsay. Do I have a seconder
for
the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I second that.
Seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. 12.16, extension of contract 15/038, provision of internal audit services. Mr. Torrey.
Mr. Mayor, could I ask for this recommendation to be put?
Jesus, one second.
I'm keen to go home.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Moved by Councillor Ramsay. Do you have a seconder for the motion?
Yes,
seconded by Councillor Hardy.
Yeah.
Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion, declare the motion carried. 12.17 has already been done. Fantastic. 13, 14. Thank you. Item 13 and 14 was combined on request of Councillor Ramsay earlier on. Reports from delegates point to other bodies and councillor representation acknowledgements. Councillor Bushy.
I'm still writing mine down. That's okay.
Councillor Hardy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've got to it. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
So, April 4th in Leeds West, as you can see, in Footscray, the 5th was an event at Maiden Park, April Sunday, it's a great day for children. The 5th, April, with the city biannual forum. The 11th of April at Leeds West, as you can see, Green Valley hosted this great day. 12th of April, Caroline's free press check presentation. It's one of the better days around, and congratulations to all those that were recipients of the checks and also those that will apply next year. 16th of April, Hannah Watch Park Master Plan, that's an ongoing. 17th of the community members, the grant applications to 18th of April, policy review panel. The 18th is the Audit Committee, that's a busy day. The 18th is the City for All People Celebration Launch. Susan Alberti, guest speaker, what a wonderful speaker. What a wonderful speaker. You're not going to get better than Susan. who spoke about her career, her history, and how she was engaging and involved in all groups. One of them. The 19th of April, Men's Health Forum, Men's Sheds at Taylor's Hill, again, Nelson should be following up, similar. What they were doing in the shed was actually doing health checks for all. I went through it, and everybody else, but it would be an advocacy for Nelson to follow up. The 8th for April 19th, yeah, monthly Youth Mental Health Forum, Catholic Regional College. I know other councillors are going to speak highly of this, so I'll leave that alone. The 20th and 30th of the side of Allenby Reserve Hillside. 21st Community Leadership Program, Caroline Springs. 22nd, Tanya White's the Master Plan again. 23rd was Mountains Ways for our reference group, and Murray was there. And yes, there is a lot of work to be done in that area. 24th, Melbourne Christian College, Anzac Day commemoration. I really was moved by the involvement of the children there. Anzac Dawn Breakfast in March on the 25th, and I know all councillors were there, and we all enjoyed each other's company, and along with all the diggers and other people. The 26th Community Consultation, Hannah Melbourne Rep. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Kesich.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll be quick. On the 12th of April, at the Club Caroline Springs, Grand Check presentation. 17th of April, meeting with the residents in the Plumpton, different issues, including a mice infestation. 19th of April, meeting with Simon Camilleri, trainer of Western Strikers Soccer Club. 21st of April, Safer City Day, when Caroline Springs Shopping Centre, Caroline Springs. 25th of April, RSL Anzac Day, dawn service at the memorial on the parade at Caroline Springs. Really moved. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Kesich. Councillor Medlick.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll just highlight some of the events because otherwise I'll be here for longer than my allotted time. The Lifelong Learning Festival Project Working Group and Community Learning Board, we've decided that we've organised the Lifelong Learning Festival to be in early October, and more information will be brought forward to Council in the near future. The Melton Transport Community Reference Group, where we spoke about all the different various organisations that manage the different parts of the transport system in the City of Melton, as well as the groups that are advocating for change to the transport system in the Melton City Council or in our municipality. Fraser Rise, the City Vista Sports Precinct Partnership Celebrations, a fantastic $13 million funded project by Melton Council in conjunction with George Cross Soccer Club. The expected completion date will be in mid-2009, and we were all very excited, the councillors. What did I say?
Nine.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I've just been taken back in 2020. I've got 2019 here. It's been a long night. This will be an amazing facility for our residents and especially our children and young people. The Youth Mental Health Forum, and what a fantastic event this was, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Heaney, if you could please pass on our congratulations to your team and any other team that was involved, any other general manager's team that was involved. Although it was called the Youth Mental Health Forum, but I think us as adults got a lot from it as well. A big congratulations to Councillor Carley, whose this initiative it was. Well done. It was basically it was a life-saving forum, I believe, for many people that were there. And well done to the councillors for your support, because obviously without the general councillors it wouldn't have gone forward. Safer City Day in Caroline Springs, a great turnout and such an important event for our community to be aware of safety for ourselves, our families, and to look out for each other within the community. Jan Webb, together with Victoria Police, SES, CFA, and I hope I haven't missed out anybody else, does such a great job in promoting safety within our community, and if that could be passed on to her and her team. The Meet and Greet 2018 Community Leadership Program, that was great. Anzac Dawn service at Caroline Springs, always a remarkable service. It's always very touching. I'm always very honoured to be there to remember the diggers and what they've done for us, for Australia and for our freedom. It's getting bigger and bigger, Mr. Mayor, over 3,000 people. It was said that over 3,000 people attended. Everyone was excited about the relocation of the new the new memorial, and hopefully that will be done next year for next year's service. I also attended the Anzac March in High Street, which is always a great honour and a privilege for me as a councillor, as well as the 10 a.m. Anzac service in Melton. The Rockbank Hall Community Engagement Workshop for new schools in Melton and Caroline Springs area, I attended with Mr. Mayor, and we were all over the issues that they said, this is your wish list, what do you want on there? So I made sure that I filled up their board with our wish lists on what we expect our schools to have, whether they include them or not, Mr. Mayor, but we did advocate, so that's the most important thing. And that's pretty much it, Mr. Mayor. And I also attended our Melton Recreation Reserve community consultation for Hannah Watts Park, and that was great feedback, and it'll be interesting to see the briefing that comes back, because there's some pretty impressive projects that the kids put yellow stickers on, so be prepared, councillors.
Councillor Bushy.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'll fly through mine. Thursday, 29th of March, Springside College 2018 Student Leadership Team Presentation Ceremony with Councillor Mendez and Councillor Maidlick. Wednesday the 4th, the City Vista Sports Precinct Partnership Celebration. Thursday the 5th, the Western Biennial Forum at Wyndham City Council, which was really good, actually. Thursday the 6th, the Burnside Bears Women's Launch. Thursday the 12th, the Club Caroline Springs Grants Check Presentation. Friday the 13th, Pop Culture, Groovy Movie Night. We go to them all, or most of them, because they're good to send the kids off to, you know. And that was good at the Taylor's Hill Youth Centre, and we ate popcorn and had lots of really sugary drinks. And then I left halfway through, which always happens with my two-year-old who can't control himself. Thursday the 19th, Youth Mental Health Forum at CRC Melton. Well done, Councillor Carley, on the great initiative, and I hope that this becomes an annual event, because it's much needed in our community, and I advocate for all councils to introduce similar. The more information we can get out in the community, the better on mental health and why it's important. Saturday 21st of April, I was briefly at the Safer City Day event at Caroline Springs Square. Wednesday 25th, the Caroline Springs RSL Anzac Day Dawn Service, and Saturday the 28th, the Community Information Session for the Aintree Children and Community Hub. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've had a couple of meetings and also formal committees that I've attended, but I'll do them all in one hit. The Power of Collaboration Community Leaders Forum was absolutely fantastic, and SR needs to be complimented. The Western Region Biennial Forum, and I'm Greek, but I can't pronounce this, George Megol, or whatever, it was very informative and right on cue with data and statistics about our growth. We met with the Northwestern Titans baseball team, the mayor and myself and some of the staff. The High Chief, the Rotary Club of Melton Valley have asked all our community leaders, or our male community leaders, to service afternoon tea, and the mayor looked resplendent in his kilt, but he also joined the red hat ladies, and the hat just didn't go, sorry. But more, they've raised essential dollars to help that worthy cause along. We also had the Safer Cities down in Caroline Springs, which was attended by lots of people, and there was a lot of effort put into that one, and it basically covered the whole car park, which was fantastic. I also came down to meet one of my heroes from the 2000 Olympics. Kathy Freeman was at the Little Athletics track handing out medals to all our juniors. And they were lined up for miles. Also, Melton Hockey played off that day. It was great to see the atmosphere that was there. And then I jetted back to the meet and greet at Caroline Springs with the Community Leaders Forum. We've got some challenges coming up in leaders. I reckon they'll all be potential council candidates one day soon, but the more the merrier. The Melton History Book Project met. The Melton Christian College Anzac Day Commemorative Service was absolutely sensational. It's the second one I've attended, and it was breathtaking. I also did a drop-in at PAG and was warmly greeted. Then we had the Melton RSL Dawn Service, the Gunfire Breakfast, and then the march, which was sensational. The Melton Bowling Club presentation night was also last Saturday night. I assessed, along with Ken Hardy and yourself, the semi-annual grants panel, Family Violence Advisory Committee. I attended the Melton Transport Community Reference Group. And can I urge everybody who knows anything about me, May the 4th, so remember this, May the Force be with you. We're all turning on our headlights to just pay respects to all those that have lost their lives on our roads and bring it to the attention of the general populace. So, May the 4th, headlights on. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Mendes.
On the 29th of March, I attended with Kathleen Majorlik and Councillor Bushy the Springside Peter Nine College Leadership Awards. On the 12th of April, the Club Caroline Springs Grant. The 17th of April, the Arts Advisory Committee. The 18th of April, the Melton History Project, which is coming along really tremendously, and I think everyone's going to look forward to reading that when it's actually presented and published. On the 19th of April, the Youth Mental Health Forum. And Councillor Carley, I can tell you that on the following day, the words around the school that I'm actually involved in, I couldn't commend you any more highly. You did a great job in getting that initiative, and I hope that we continue on with that in workshops throughout the year next year, and in, not even just annually, but even on a quarterly basis, because I think our students in this community will get a lot out of it, not just the students, but I think the parents and the adults did walk away with a completely different viewpoint on mental health, and I think it's something that we need to talk more about. And on the 25th of April, the Anzac Day service here in Melton and the march afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. Councillor DeSantis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On the Anzac Day, Wednesday 25th of April, I attended the dawn service at the Melton in High Street. I had the breakfast service with the Caroline Springs RSL at the club in Caroline Springs, and I came back to Melton for the Anzac Day march in my heels, which was fantastic. It was a complete honour to have attended, though. Probably most overwhelming was the old warplanes flying overhead that I happened to catch on camera, which was fantastic. It was a beautiful day, and thank you to our diggers and for all that attended. Saturday 21st of April was the opening of Atherston Development, which I attended with my daughter, and also the Safer City Day event at Caroline Springs Square, which was fantastic. Friday the 20th of April was the Family Violence Advisory Committee. Thursday 9th of April was the Youth Mental Health Forum at CRC in Melton, and a great initiative by Councillor Lara Carley. Again, thank you very much, Councillor Carley, and thank you to our Melton City Council officers for the great work that they did. Thursday, 5th of April, was the Western Region Biannual Forum at Wyndham Civic Centre in Werribee, and I also attended a hands-on health and RMIT initiative opening of the first Indigenous Health Precinct in Thornbury with Jed Kearney on the 26th of April, which was a Thursday. And if I could just say a little few words about the Family Violence Committee meeting that we attended on the Friday, the 20th of April, an introduction to the new state government's initiative where fines that were acquired directly due to family violence will be dismissed, which was great. That's where parking, speeding fines, car registration, etc. will be wiped, where the perpetrators or recidivists rack up fines to get even or get back at survivors. Survivors will then be able to have these fines withdrawn. Police statistics of family violence in the Melton LGA. There was a case study on how children have viewed excessive family violence and the impact that this has on their physical and mental health. I'd like to applaud the Victoria Police and the Melton Family Violence Unit on their work with both survivors and recidivists. The new family violence hubs the state government Mountain's interest in receiving one within our municipality to invite the family violence minister to these meetings. Issues with the judicial system, IVOs, and it's leading to further financial and custody issues for the survivor. Legal aid does not offer assistance with this. And I'd like to thank and applaud Murray, Matt, Liz and Sarah and their teams on their hard and dedicated work in this most delicate area. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor DeSantis. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I know that my fellow councillors have gone through a few of them, so I'll quickly skip through them. City Vista Sports Precinct Celebration with Caroline Springs George Cross. That was a great turnout. It was so good to see all the kids there as well, all ready in their soccer gear and having a kick around and waiting for this great facility to open up. The Western Region Biannual Forum at Wyndham City Council. The club Caroline Springs Grant Check Presentation. I also attended Sydenham Hillside Cricket Club Senior Presentation Evening. That was a huge night with Greg Wilson and George Babalus receiving their life membership medals. And it was fabulous to see the support in the room for the ladies' first team, who this year won the inaugural VTCA Women's Division Premiership flag. So it was great to see the men and women cheering their first women's team on. I attended the Arts Advisory Committee meeting. We spoke about the exhibition program, active arts project and public art maintenance, policy review panel meeting, minutes are in tonight's agenda, the Youth Mental Health Forum. Where do I start? Firstly, Mr. Haney, I want to say a huge thank you to you and to your team. It's one thing when, and I know I always say this, but it's one thing when we councillors have an initiative, but it's the executives and your teams that actually make it come to fruition. So thank you so much. It was so much more than what I expected. The workshops, the service provider setups, it was just spectacular, and the feedback that I've had has been mind-blowing. So thank you so much, and thank you to my fellow councillors who supported that. And yes, I would like to see it become a yearly event. The turning of the site at Allenby Reserve in Hillside through the Growing Suburbs Fund, the Violence Advisory Committee or Family Violence Advisory Committee. The 20th of April, myself and Councillor Maidlick attended Disco Bingo. That was such a fun night. And yes, I got to yell out bingo, but I didn't want to dance off, so I was happy for someone else to take the crown. That was fine. Where else? Okay, the bi-monthly grants assessment panel meeting. The 24th Diggers Rest Primary School Anzac Ceremony. It was absolutely an honour to lay a wreath at the ceremony, and well done to Diggers Rest Primary School and Mary Ann Rover for organising that ceremony. 25th Anzac Day Dawn Service in Caroline Springs. Well done to the Caroline Springs RSL. I then also attended the Gunfire Breakfast at the club and Melton RSL Anzac Day March Down in Melton. And the last one, Mr. Mayor, before I run out of breath, was the Early Learning Years Partnership Committee meeting. We discussed an advocacy plan, Best Start update, and Melton's Lifelong Learning Festival, which will happen in October. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Curley. Been another exciting month. It's always a great month in Melton when you get out and about. And most of the things most of the councillors have shared with me, I'll just pick through a couple of things. We had a power of collaboration on the 28th of March, which is Community Leaders Forum. Launch of a new Samoan Community Advisory Group on the 31st of March. And on the 1st of April, on Easter Sunday, I think it was, Sinhala and Hindu New Year Festival at Deer Park. That was a good morning. They seem to be getting better and better every year. Attended the Jane McGrath Foundation, along with Councillor Ramsey, run by Melton Valley Rotary. Another great initiative. It's getting busier and busier, and it's getting to the stage because it's going to get more difficult for them to hold it in the future with the lack of volunteers in that area. Metropolitan Local Government Waste Forum, 3 hours. It was e-waste tour and plastics, looking at uses for the various materials in the future. Attend the Arts Advisory Committee on the 17th and on the 18th Policy Review Panel. On the 19th of April, I also attended the Youth Mental Health Forum, and I thought it was a really great night. But what I thought was great for the kids, but the adults the parents and the grandparents have come along, I think they got as much out of it as the kids did. So I think it was really worthwhile in that regard as well. The Safer City Day event at Carling Springs was a great day. Jan's team always do a great job with that. The Melton Christian College Anzac Day, they did their own service on the 24th, and on the 25th, as most all councillors here attend one or the other, I attended the dawn service in the march in the morning, which was another fantastic day from them, and thanks to our staff for helping with that on the day. And I'll finish off with the community engagement workshops I attended with Councillor Madelick in Rockbank regarding new schools in Melton, Caroline Springs. Thank you. We'll move on to notices of motion 15.1. Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the council officers investigate additional parking options around all schools in the City of Melton, present a report to council.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Moved by Councillor Ramsey, do a seconder for the motion.
I'm happy to second that, Madam Minister.
Seconded by Councillor Mendez. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. 15.2, notice of motion 559, Councillor Kesich.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the council explore the cost of a thorough clean-up of Lake Caroline and refer to the current 2018-19 budget deliberation. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor need any clarification? No. Moved by Councillor Kesich, seconded by...
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Madelick. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. 15.3, notice motion 560. Councillor Bushy.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. That a report be presented to the next ordinary meeting of council outlining the implementation and costs of providing free Wi-Fi for all open space areas, including surrounding Lake Caroline, to the same standard that has been implemented at the Melton Township Centre and the Atherston Regional Play Space. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Moved by Councillor Bushy, do you have a seconder?
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Madelick. Does any councillor oppose the motion?
No, but could I seek clarification?
Declare the motion carried. Carry on, Councillor Ramsey.
Can I seek clarification?
You can.
Was the Melton Town Centre and the Atherston Regional Play Space? I know Atherston was put in by a developer. Did we pay for that, or was that part of a grant? The Melton Town Centre.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the Melton Town Centre, the implementation has been done through a grant. But the ongoing maintenance is obviously council's direct responsibility. However, we've just in sort of preliminary investigations for this, there's new technology out which doesn't require the hardware implementation that we've actually undertaken in the Melton Town Centre. But
okay. That'll
be all spelt out in the council report.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Notice of motion 562, Councillor Bushy.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. That's 15.5, correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
Notice of motion 562, correct.
Thank you. That council officers prepare an urgent maintenance report with recommendations to improve the playing surface of Brookside Reserve Grass Oval and report back to council. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Moved by Councillor.
Seconded, sir.
Moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Item number 16, councillors' questions without notice. Neil, motions without notice.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I have a motion without notice that council officers prepare a report outlining options and costings for council to provide a permanent location for the Caroline Springs RSL sub-branch in or nearby the Caroline Springs area in consultation with the Caroline Springs RSL sub-branch for the requirements needed for the dwelling. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Madelick. Does any other councillor have any motions without notice? Urgent business? No. Item number 19 is coming up next.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Confidential.
I'd like to move a procedural motion that pursuant to Section 89/2 of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated for items 19.1 and 19.2.
Thank you, Councillor Medlick.
I'd like to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Ramsey. I'd like to thank our public for coming in, giving us their patience tonight. I hope you've had a good night just the same. Thank you.
Yeah, that's pretty good considering.
Moved by Councillor Medlick, seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour?
What are you doing now?
I declare the motion carried.
The procedural motion, Councillor Ramsey.
To do what?
To
close the meeting.
Okay, you take the vote.
Spend all your money. Don't worry about it.
Ready?
So we're just closing the meeting now. You just took the vote. Oh, yeah. Can you give him some training?